Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. It's really good to see you, and it's really good to be here with you. This is a fourth Sunday, so just a quick word about fourth Sundays, really. A service on the morning of a fourth Sunday, you'll probably have noticed it's not at 9 o'clock, so it's not a 9 o'clock service. But it's not a 10:45 either. So it's not a 10:45 service. But neither, I think, is it a kind of let's mash the two services together and find what kind of a mess we can make of the two if we push them all together into one service. It's not that either. As Monty Python used to say, now for something completely different. So a fourth Sunday is an opportunity for us to do something completely different. So I hope that you come this morning ready for something different. Not a 9 o'clock service, not a 10:45 service, and not a kind of a halfway house somewhere between the two that satisfies nobody, but something different. And I hope that you are open to something different, and open most of all to God and His Holy Spirit moving amongst us this morning. I hope that you're open to that. Just a couple of things. We are a family, so it's good when families get together to share news and things that are happening. A couple of things to share with you. We've got our thanks and giving weekend coming up. It's not long after Easter, and we're nearly coming into Lent period and so on. And so there are these slips of paper, not the BBC Songs of Praise, but we're going to have a Songs of Praise. But we do need your suggestions of songs that you would love to sing. So far, I think there have been we've been inundated by the number of responses that we've had of about none. This is your wonderful opportunity. If you want to really make sure that you get your song sung, get it in now, because you'll be the only one who voted and yours will come out top. Can I say, in the out through here on the table, pick them up after the service, get them back now, today, as soon as possible. That would be good. Tea and coffee after the service. Thank you, Shane. Thank you. Who was somebody helping you? Or were you on your own? I think he needs a hand, doesn't he? So please do help after the service. Tea and coffee. That's when you can fill in the forms about your hymn. David Pollitt. Wave to me, David. David is going on a Christian retreat. Week after next? 4th of March. It's at Rydal Hall, and as a family, do you think we could find somebody to give him a lift? You don't need to wave at me now. David will be in coffee time. Go and have a chat to David, and he would love you to give him a lift after to and from the Rydal Hall. Let's just be still and quiet for a few moments. Let's be quiet. As your family, Lord, see us here, from the very youngest to the very oldest. We are your children, and we come to worship, we come to praise, we come to give you our thanks and our adoration. We do it all in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll also be aware that over these last few weeks, we're kind of halfway through now, a sermon series about women of the Old Testament. I tried to choose some of the unusual suspects. So I've gone today for... Do you say this Mikael or Michael? Oh, you know, you've got a divided church now. I looked it up on Wikipedia, and of course you trust everything on you read on Wikipedia. And Wikipedia says Michael. So I'm going for Michael. Okay. Michael was King David's first wife. There you go. And I'm sure that those of you that are ahead of the game have already looked her up and done your homework and know all about Michael already. Blank looks now. Okay. One of the other things that we're trying to do here at PMC is to introduce the congregation to all the different groups that happen throughout the week here at PMC. And there are so many. Estimates vary, 50, 60, 70 different groups that meet through the week. And sometimes we don't get to know what's happening in all of the groups. So in a fortnight's time, we'll be talking about the flowers. Come back in a fortnight's time. But this week, I want to introduce you to a particular group who are the prayer, refresh, stroke, dance group. When I said to them, would you like to tell us a little bit about your group? Gradually they sort of said, yes. And I said, well, would you like to do some of the things that you do? And they said, yes. Really, they're taking the whole service. But I'm going to introduce you to them, and maybe during the course of this morning's worship, they'll tell you a little bit about who they are and what they do.
You, who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You, who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young.
Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. A few verses from Luke chapter 1. Such was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from enemy hands and grant us, free from fear, to worship him with a holy worship, with uprightness of heart, in his presence
our whole life long. And so this morning, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, and ask that you would enter and touch every heart. We come as one to worship, to be worshipful this morning. So let us just wait for a moment upon the Holy Spirit. Worship is special. It springs out of God's love for us and our love for Him. We can bow, kneel, or fall face down in worship. We can express our worship in dance and movement too. As God invites us into His presence here this morning, so we invite you, as you are able, to join with us throughout this time of worship. You may like to follow us with the movements as we sing, "Come, now is the time to worship."
If you come regularly to this church, you've probably noticed that often there are flags being waved, as well as just movement. And the flags can demonstrate different things. The colours are significant, and they can paint a picture. And the song that we're going to do next is Jesus, Hope of the Nations. So we're kind of thinking about that, what we could have. And I don't know if anybody would like to, but if you do, there are flags here that you can use for that when we come to it. But first of all, my two able assistants are going to demonstrate some moves. So, there are bits in the Bible. I'll just read something out. One of the ones we have is the canopy, where you run from the edge, the pole edge to the corner, and you lift it above yourself, and you remember that God's canopy over you is love. And in Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "His banner over me is love." So that's the canopy, and it can go into a bow as well. Also the gold. When you look at gold, you can think of kingship, majesty, and the glory of heaven. And purple, again, majesty, kingship, and grace. And I do have a card here that if anyone wants to look later, it does have Bible references as well. Then we have being victorious. "We will shout for joy when you are victorious and lift up our banners in the name of the Lord." That's from Psalm 20. And so when we lift up our banners on high, we are actually lifting up Jesus. And we say, "Here's our banner." And also for protection. "But those who fear you have raised a banner against the foe." Psalm 60, verse 4. Thank you. Right. So you've seen the canopy. Another one is the swirl, where I'll actually read it from here, what it says to do. It says, hang on a minute, "Flag down, cross flag over in front of body, right to left, bring flag up, right hand next to left shoulder, flag pointing down, material brushes left shoulder, continue flag round, back of shoulders, flick flag stick to point flag down on right side, then circle flag below." If you're learning, you do it very slowly. But they're very they're expert at it now, so there we go. And that's called the swirl. And it's a flag symbol of the love of God surrounding and protecting us at all times. Now, another one is the lazy eight. It's called the lazy eight because it's like an eight on its side. And it's the symbol for eternity. So if you want to do, and you can do it at any level really, and also up high and as you turn round. And it's saying, Christ has won the victory for all time. He has won for us eternal life. And then there's one called the lash, which is actually, you raise your flag to right, and then you actually want to make a cracking sound as it comes down. So and that is, you know, there is evil in the world, and it's saying Jesus has come against that. He's won the victory. So, yeah. So you may well see some of those demonstrated. And another one we have is called the crown. It's simply above your head. And so you might know that. There you go. And it's kind of with your wrist. And now something, if you are using a flag, it does extend your arm by about that much. So just be aware of other people around you. find a space. And you will need to, make sure you don't catch anyone with it. But we do invite you to come and use them. Different colours. We've got different colours. And I'll just read through some of the other ones. The silver, God's gifts, as in the Holy Spirit, and also the price paid for redemption. Bronze is truth, justice and judgment. And there's a reference to it in Revelation chapter 1. Red is salvation, sacrifice, sin. Pink, when you're in the pink, health and healing. Orange can be the Holy Spirit and for fire and power. Yellow. Now, yellow isn't one of my favourite colours, but I made this flag and I was always using it. And it's for light, joy and celebration. And I don't know, I just really love it. Anyway, blue, heaven, water and splendour. Green, you might think of Psalm 23. Creation, new life, growth and healing. White, holiness, purity, cleansing and faithfulness. And we have a flag with a dove on, and you kind of think of the Holy Spirit. And then we do have black as well, with death, sadness and darkness. So I think we're going to sing now, but if anybody would like to come and have a flag, you don't actually have to do all the movements. You can follow us a bit if you want, but if you'd just like to wave one, or you know, if you've ever thought I would like a flag, please do come up. Sorry, I was just going to read before I started. Sorry. Right. Just before the song, I'll just read from the Gospel of John, in chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not put it out. And verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I'll just read from John 18, verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Right, we're going to sing now. And there'll be two songs.
It's been a little while since we had our Moving Mountains mission here in Penrith. Do you remember that? Yeah. And as part of the mission, there were some Gospels produced. for us to give out to people. What would you do for love? They're brilliant. They're really good. I say that because in the first part, before you get to the gospel, there are little testimonies. There are little stories about how faith and how Jesus has impacted and changed people's lives. I'm a little bit biased because I happen to know that nearly half of the stories come from here in PMC. There's a little stack there. If you didn't get one because you weren't around 2 years ago or whatever, please do take one and read through the stories, and you can guess who the people are that are in the congregation now that these stories relate to. But the introduction, what would you do for love? It really refers back to a particular song. Not a worship song like we've been singing, but Meat Loaf. Except he's now advertising Greg's vegan pies, isn't he now? True! Meat Loaf. Meat Loaf, of course, had that song. It's kind of a duet. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. Apparently, he's had more questions about that particular song than any other song in his repertoire. People keep asking him what the that is that he refers to. What is it that he won't do? He has got so annoyed with that question now because, actually, you just got to listen to the lyrics. And it's there in the lyrics, plain. He says in each of the verses, here's a couple of things that I will do, and then there's one thing that I won't do. And each of the verses repeats that structure. So, for example, in the first verse, the thing that he says he won't do is that he won't forget his love. He won't forget how it feels to be with her. He won't do that. He won't forget her. And so on. And it goes through each of the verses. Here's another thing. Sometimes when a couple, you know, they've been dating for a while and it's come to the end of the relationship, it's just not working anymore. And so one of them will say, if you really loved me, you would give me my freedom. You'd let me go. If you loved me, you'd let me go. And maybe, again, Meat Loaf says, I'll do anything for love. But I won't do that. I wonder how far our love extends. How far will it go? Are there limits on love? Are there some lines beyond which love cannot pass? I'd do anything for love. Anything. But that's a step too far. I can't go that far. I can't do that. So, are you sitting comfortably? Let me tell you a story. This is the story of a princess. And as all princesses, she grew up in the palace. She had a father, of course, who was the king. And the king was called King Saul. Her name, I'm going to call her Princess Michael. You can see where I'm coming from now. Not Princess Michael, because there is a Princess Michael, isn't there? But this one lived 1,000 years before Jesus. So, going back. Growing up in a palace as a princess, I suppose you have all the benefits of that. But like most princesses, what she really wanted was for her prince to come. For somebody to come that she could fall in love with and she would marry. And one day, lo and behold, into the palace comes such a young man. Not a prince, really, because he wasn't of royal stock. He wasn't the son of a king in the same way that she was the daughter of a king. In fact, he was a shepherd boy. Wow. So, let's imagine now a shepherd boy. So, he's got that kind of outward kind of, he loves the countryside, he loves being out in the outdoors, rugged kind of outdoorsy type, bit rough around the edges. But what princess doesn't fall for that kind of bit rough around the edges, you know, a bit kind of... No, I'll rephrase that. she falls for him. He's not tall. In fact, he doesn't fit into the armour, does he? So he's not sort of rugged and tall and good-looking in that sense. But, you know, he's brave. He's braver than all the other people in her father's army. He's brave. He's the one that can stare down a giant and throw his pebble at the, you know, slay a giant. So he's brave. But he's sort of got kind of a quieter side to him as well, gentler side. He plays the lyre, the harp, you know, he sings music. When her father is having his headaches and his migraines and he's really in a foul temper, David can play the harp and soothe King Saul. So with all of that going for him, you can see that Michal falls for David. She loves David. She loves David to pieces. She just falls head over heels in love with him. I'm not so sure whether the feeling's reciprocal. How much does David love Michal? I'm trying to read between the lines of the Bible there and work it out. I'm not so sure how deep that relationship goes in that direction. But she loves David. So much so that when King Saul has a big falling out with David, what is she going to do? Who does she side with? Does she side with her husband, now that they're married? Or does she side with her father? Her father has taken a spear and tried to run David through. He goes into hiding. David is in fear of his life. He knows that Saul is after him. So what is Michal going to do? Is she going to stay with her father that she's grown up with in the palace? Or does she go with her husband? The heart says, I love my husband. And so she hatches a plot to make sure that David can escape safely. What she does is she gets one of the household idols. Now, let's not go there of asking why Michal has got a household idol in her house. Maybe we'll come back to that in a moment. But she gets this idol, puts it into the bed. Can you imagine this now? Covers it over with the blanket, and David can escape. When the guards come to get David, there's nobody there. There's just, take the blanket away. And there's just this idol underneath the blanket. And David makes good his escape. How far would you go for love? Would you go against your father? Would you go against the king of the country that you live in? Would you go against the laws for the love of somebody else? How far would your love extend? For Michal, it goes as far as helping her husband to escape. But for us, how far will our love extend? Jesus says that we should love one another with the same extent, the same amount of love that he has shown. I wonder if you do. Or whether you say, I'll do anything for love, but Well, there are limits, aren't there? How far does our love for one another extend? And then Jesus says, not just love one another in the church, where we're all very lovely people, I'm sure, and we're all very easy to get on with, aren't we? But he goes a step further than that. He says, love your neighbour. Love the people around you. Love the people that you come into contact with each day. I'm sure we do that as well, don't we? Or maybe we say, well, I'll go so far in showing my love for the people around me, but there have to be limits after all, don't there? I'd do anything for love, but, well, there are some places that I can't take it. And Jesus says, you've heard it said that you should love your neighbour, but I say, love your enemies. Whoa. Are you serious, Jesus? I've got to love my enemies now as well? I'll do anything for love, Jesus, but there have to be some limits here, don't there? We can take it so far, but what you're asking, Jesus, is just a step too far. I do anything for love, but I won't do that, or that, or that, or that. I wonder how far our love will extend. I'm just going to ask you to stay seated for a moment, and we're going to sing a song, Purify My Heart, Cleanse Me From Within. Just sing this quietly and prayerfully, and then I'll carry on with the story. So Michael has risked her life for her husband. She's laid her life down on the line in order to oppose her father. That's risky. So having done that, having risked her life and laid her life on the line for her husband, how does David respond to that? Does he say, in effect, something like, oh, you've risked your life for me. How wonderful. We'll elope together. Romantic. The two of us running off together. No. He doesn't do anything like that. He disappears. He leaves her behind. Having risked her life for her, having fallen head over heels in love for David, David goes and abandons her. Disappears. Wow. For how long? For a few months? For 14 years, she doesn't see sight of him at all. He's gone. 14 years. He's wandering in the wilderness. He's running from, scared from King Saul. He's away. And what happens next? I suppose you get on with your life. She remarries. She remarries another man, and she gets on with her life. And then King Saul dies 14 years later. So there is now a power vacuum at the top of the hierarchy. Who's going to become king now? Who's going to take the place of King Saul? Should it be David? David's got a claim to the throne. He's led the rebellion. He's now been anointed as the next king. But it's not quite as clear-cut as that, because there are King Saul's family, his sons. Surely they have a better claim to the throne than a shepherd boy, David. So David's got to kind of somehow beef up his claim to the throne. Hang on. I, 14 years ago, was married to King Saul's daughter. I'm going to go and get her back. Now, does that sound like somebody who's been longing and pining after his wife for 40... He's now married to somebody else as well. 14 years on, it's all a bit of a mess. But he decides that he's going to go and woo her back and get back Michael. So Michael now returns to the palace as King David's bride. I wonder how they are now getting on with one another. I wonder whether her first love, whether she still, what do they say, carries a torch for him? Does she still have that in her heart for him now or not? Has that kind of love now blown over, the love of her teenage years, the fact sort of she's really... I wonder how the two of them feel for one another. Okay. Do you want the next bit of the story? The next bit of the story, I'm going to get somebody to come and read it for me. Marion, where are you?
The reading comes from 2 Samuel chapter 6. Verses 12 to 23, and it can be found on page 310 in the Church Bibles. 2 Samuel chapter 6 from verse 12. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of the God." So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came up to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by those slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death." Amen.
Wow. Gets better and better, doesn't it? So David comes with the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And as he's doing that, he's wearing an ephod. I do not know what an ephod is. Do you know what an ephod is? But some say a linen loincloth. So, and as he's dancing along, he's being undignified. Ah, but does he care? And Michael is looking out of the window. She sees all of that going on, and this woman who had fallen head over heels in love with him 14 years ago, now it says she despises him. And when he gets in, she tears him off a strip. Don't you care who's what everybody would think of you? What's going on here? Earlier on I was saying about how far your love extends to other people. How far does your love extend to the people in the congregation? How far does your love extend to your neighbours? How far does your love extend to those even that you don't even like, or those that maybe you despise, those that who are your enemies in some way? How far will your love extend? Now I'm going to ask you the question, how far does your love extend to God? Or do we also say, Lord, I love you, I'd do anything for you, I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. And here's Michael saying to David, can't you express your love for God in some other way than that? That's embarrassing, what you're doing there. Dancing? Maybe you can see why now I asked the Prayer Refresh Dance Group to take part in our service today. Because maybe in our worship we are expressing our love for God. We say to God, I love you this much. Oh, I love you so much, Lord. In worship, we offer our love gift to God. And we say, Lord, I love you, but I can't do that. I can't wave a flag. Oh, I could do anything for love, but I'm not going to wave a flag. No. I'd do anything for love, but I'm not going to dance. I'm not going to do that. That would be so embarrassing. Remember when I first became a Christian, I was going to a middle-of-the-road Anglican church. And I was in the choir, and I had a friend called Martin. And sometimes there would be some more kind of celebratory services at the and in the worship, some people sometimes would even raise their hands. And Martin said to me one day, do you know... you know what people are doing? They're seeing whether the roof's leaking. and put me off, really, raising my hands in worship for a long, long while. Then Christine and I went to Spring Harvest one year, and I was determined that I would not raise my hands in worship. I was not going to do that. Look at all these. What an embarrassing... what are you going to... what's that all about? And then they sang a song called Our God Reigns. And I put my hands up to see whether it was raining or not, you know. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. I wonder how deep Michael's love was for God. You remember that idol that she kept in the bedroom? What was that doing there? How deep was her love for God? Or was she more worried about what other people were thinking? What were the slave girls thinking? You can't do that, David. I'd do anything to show my love for you, God, but I won't do that. I wonder how far your love for God will go in worship today. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. Let's just pause in prayer. Is there something that God says, something that God is saying to you this morning? Do you hear God's voice? What is it that He's been saying to you?
Deuteronomy chapter 10. Verses 12 and 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Let's read the next bit. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. That's each of us as well. And God wants to have that relationship with us, but sometimes our hearts are hard. There are things in the way, and that we need to get rid of them. Our hearts need to be softened towards him. We were going to do as Refresh, and my husband Byron's also in this, and Penny sometimes joins us, and Kerry is on holiday. And sometimes in our time we have a reflective time, and something we had thought about today, but at the last minute we weren't able to do it, was to have some pebbles and to hold one in your hand and just ask God to let you know if there's something that's making you maybe heavy-hearted or sad, or something that's getting in the way of you, that's weighing on you, and that you need to give to him. And we're going to have some blue material out here that you could place a pebble on if you'd like to, and think about God washing us clean and washing away that thing that's getting in the way of our relationship with him. And then the water always refreshes us as well. He refreshes us and restores us. And then to put into hearts his burden, which is not heavy, but is light. But as we haven't got that, you're just going to have to maybe imagine and think, what is it, Lord, that's getting in the way of my heart? I know there are things, in my heart that's in the way of my relationship with you. It could be something like the TV or a relationship or not having said sorry to someone. I was just thinking back, when I was younger, I used to watch Coronation Street a lot, and I didn't want to miss it, and I'd get grumpy if I didn't see it, and I'd put other things, you know, to the side to see it. And then one day I thought, what am I doing? You know? And that was really getting in the way of me and, well, other people, but also time with God. Because when you start filling your life with too many things, it's not just other people, it's God as well that kind of gets pushed a bit to the side. So, you know, things are okay. You know, it's okay to watch the TV and have relationships, but if they're getting in the way of, you know, putting God first in your life, then he says, you know, it's not helpful to you. So, we're going to have a song now. It's going to be played on CD, but the words will be on the screen. It's called We Bow Down and Confess You Are Lord in This Place. And we're thinking in this place, but also in this place, in our hearts. So, it's just time now for you to sit and reflect. You can sing a bit if you want. Sometimes I know in service, and one or two other people have done this, you just feel you need to just do something, and you might just want to walk to the front and stand or kneel or sit or whatever, pick up a flag even. You know, and just say, yes, Lord, I want to be for you. I want you to just come in and take away those things that are burdening me at the moment. So, we'll play that song now for you.
Lord, forgive us this morning. Forgive us if ever our love for you has grown cold. Forgive us when our love for our neighbours has not been all that it should be. Forgive us for when we've not loved others with the same degree of love that you have first shown to us. Forgive us when our worship has become half-hearted and when we've held back. Lord, forgive us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now, we pray. For you are a God whose love knows no limits. A God who held nothing back. A God who was willing to send his only Son to be our Saviour, knowing that he would die on that cross for our sakes. What love. Oh, what love. So, in response again, We ask for your cleansing, your healing, and your forgiveness. Draw us back to your heart of love once more. And restore our love for you. Kindle that flame of love in our hearts once more, we pray. We ask these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. If anything that's been said today has touched you, please do find somebody to talk to, find somebody to pray with, somebody to share it with. If something's touched you and you want to follow it through, then do find somebody to do that with today. I'm going to sing our final song this morning, Crown Him with Many Crowns, the Lamb upon the Throne. Let's worship as we sing together. The flags are still here. I'd do anything for love, but I won't do that. Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let's share together in the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.